Joining us now from Pride Sports, it's John Homan. John, welcome into the golf shop.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing awesome. People may not necessarily understand, first off, what Pride Sports is and what's under the umbrella. So kind of give everybody like the 30-second commercial on what Pride Sports is all about.
Sure. Pride Sports is probably the largest accessory supplier of various golf products in the world. Our big brands include Soft Spikes cleats, Champ cleats, Pride golf tee, our Evolution line of plastic tees, and a whole line of Zarma fly tees under the Champ name as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of the company you didn't know you know, and then you go in your golf bag and you've got a lot of stuff that's probably, you know, produced and marketed by you guys. But so, you know, what would you consider when we start talking about what's the benchmark for Pride Sports? Is it the spikes? Is it the tees? What makes the bell ring at the end of the day at Pride Sports?
Well, it's a little bit of everything, but I mean, the big driver of the business for years was really our spike business, which is the Soft Spikes and Champ product line. Soft Spikes was actually the people that invented the category, if you will, back in the mid-90s when golf went from metal spikes to plastic. A gentleman out in the state of Idaho invented the first plastic cleat, named it Soft Spikes, and it just kind of took off from there. So that's really the foundation of that side of the business, and we've been innovating and doing as much product development over the last few years as possible in that product line. And then we've added wooden golf tees, plastic golf tees, and a full line of accessories as the years have gone on.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and you and I talked about this at the show a little bit. You know, a lot of these companies that are shoe manufacturers are coming out with, you know, spikeless shoes, and I don't know. Last week on the show, we had the guys from Super Speed Golf, and they're teaching us with their products how to swing faster and get more club head speed out. Yet, you know, we've got these companies coming out with shoes that, to me, have less stability. So from that standpoint, I really think that we need more stability on our golf shoes, and that's what you guys have created with some of these new offerings in terms of spikes on shoes.
You're exactly right. I think what's interesting, obviously, is a shoe that doesn't have a removable cleat on the bottom that you can change in and out is going to be a little less structured in terms of the way the shoe's made, and much more like a tennis shoe. And for, you know, folks that need the ultimate in comfort, if you will, from a tennis shoe, and they feel that they can play the game in those shoes, you know, it's a part of the market now that's out there. However, for the folks that are serious about the game, and as you're mentioning, I mean, you guys know people are swinging their clubs faster now than they ever have, hitting the ball further than they ever had. The foundation starts at the ground, and that interaction with your shoe and the ground is extremely important and why we feel cleats are an integral part of the game and an integral part of the swing.
Well, and when we start talking about the value of spikes and the spikes that you have, people don't change them often enough. We can talk about that. But I also, what about wear patterns? When you see somebody who is a runner, for example, or considers himself a runner, you can look at the bottom of their shoes and you can tell if they're running properly. You know, if they're not knock-kneed, if they're not bow-legged, you can see the wear patterns. If someone is swinging a golf, which spikes tend to wear out first? Is it the one under the ball, the foot, if you're doing it right? Is it the one on the outside and the insole? When you start looking at that, and would you ever think about creating a sort of a stronger spike to go in that one area?
Very good question. Actually, we see the wear patterns really change depending on the golfer, and a lot of it is, believe it or not, is how you walk. You know, because you're swinging on grass for the most part, the cleats are going to last forever. But it's those cart paths and those parking lots and things that really cause the cleats to wear out at a much faster rate. So if you're someone that, like I said, if you walk more on the inside of your feet or you drag your feet, that's where the wear really comes from. You'd be surprised. The toe cleats are actually the ones that last quite a long time because obviously you're not walking a lot on your toe. It's until you make that final move where you're, at least on your right foot, you're up on the toe. So that is one thing that we see there. And in terms of different cleats, actually a couple shoe companies have done that. They've asked us to produce cleats for them that are, call it, a little harder or have a little different composition on one side of the shoe versus the other, as they're trying to help golfers to get that weight from their right side to their left side if they're a right-handed golfer. So there have been cleats out there that do that. And you've seen a variety of success with that type of design.
Yeah, and you guys, one of the newer offerings is this Helix by Champ Golf, the Helix Spike. And that's there for more stability, I'm assuming. So kind of give people a feel for that as well.
It is. It's really, for us, it's really, it's an interesting product, because if you think about basically the dichotomy that we have to go through of, we have to give golfers traction, but yet we have to develop something that's going to be green friendly. We have to have something that's not going to wear out in five rounds, but we have to have something that's going to be able to sustain the fact that you're walking in parking lots and on cart paths and a variety of different things. So we take a lot of our engineering time developing cleats that try to cover all of those attributes and provide the golfer with a soft cushioning feel, because we want them to be comfortable. We want them to adhere to the ground and give you the traction that you need. And the thing that's a lot of folks don't talk about, guys, what's interesting is, well, obviously we're all focused on the golf swing. Very important. But what a lot of people don't talk about is the transition, if you will, from the golf swing back to the golf cart or to the next shot, and the terrain that you encounter when you're doing this, as we all know, is not this nice flat surface like it is on a soccer field or a football field. There's hills and there's high
woods,
grass and low grass, and it's unbelievable. So once again, we have to make the product also help the golfer get from point A to point B without slipping and falling.
Yeah, I need a mule to help me get in and out of the woods. I'm curious, when you start talking about, you know, shoes have become so much better. I mean, they're wearable right out of the box. They didn't used to be. You used to break everything in. So at what point, though, how often, we all try to eke out a little extra time on our spikes, but really, should we be looking at it like we do putting batteries in our smoke detectors? Should we think about changing our spikes beginning of the season, mid-season, and how often?
Definitely beginning of season. That's a no-brainer. As you're getting your grips, you know, hopefully updated, you're looking at, you know, the balls, and you got tees and your ball marker and all the essentials you need. That you guys are exactly right. The thing that people don't do is they don't turn that shoe over enough and look at it and realize I've lost a cleat, or three of the four need to be replaced. And that's the great thing about replaceable cleats, is you can just go buy a package of cleats and replace the four you need. You don't have to replace all 14 or 15 or 16. So you replace the ones you need, and you've basically turned that pair of shoes, like you guys say, that are much more comfortable and are a year or two old, into basically a brand new pair of shoes. They're nice and comfortable, they feel great, and now they're, from a traction standpoint, they're like they were when they first came out of the box. In terms of timing, it's really how much you play. We typically go by rounds more than we do time. So we tell people, after about 15, 20 rounds, take a look at the bottom of those shoes again and make sure that you don't have a cleat or two that you might be wearing out. And once again, go ahead and go get in there and replace it.
All right, I'm going to ask you for the secret sauce we all need. We've all gotten out our wrench and not been able to get one out, to get a spike out. Or worse, one fell out a month ago, and we've been walking on the threads. And we've got, it's full of, like, dirt and sand and tree branches, in my case. Now, what are the secrets to getting out that one feisty spike? Can you spray it with WD-40, use warm water? Are there any secrets to getting that one nasty one out? And what about cleaning out the threads of one that has fallen out before you realized?
Well, number one is, if you replace your cleats more often, you never have this problem.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Well, that's number one.
And if I studied for the test, I'd get a better grade. But since I didn't, tell me about how to fix my problem.
Okay, so now let's go to step two. No, Ed, that's a great question. We get that a lot. And we've actually, there's a tool we developed Matt, about 20 years ago that was developed specifically for the guys that work in locker rooms at private clubs. Because as you know, those guys are changing cleats all day. And we actually designed a consumer-friendly version of that. We call it the Cleat Ripper. R-I-P-P-E-R, the Cleat Ripper. And we sell it, and we also include it in some of our kits of cleats. And it's got a fairly aggressive teeth pattern, if you will, that'll really help you dig down in there and get those cleats out. So if you can't get it out that way, when you've got one of those ones that's really, really bad, you have to be extremely careful because you don't want to ruin the shoe. There are cases where you can take a drill with a small bit and go right down through the middle of the cleat. Don't go too far because you don't want to go through the receptacle into the shoe.
And then into your thigh.
Drill out, exactly. You drill out the middle part of that cleat, and then you can eventually get it out. In terms of cleaning those receptacles out, the best thing to do is just a little soap and water, and we sell a brush or any kind of utility brush. Get it wet, get in there, and get the threads of that receptacle cleaned out so it'll accept that new cleat. Because a cleat that's put in properly should not fall out of a shoe.
And the good news, John, is that you guys sent us a little gift package to give away, and we're going to do that by if you email us at info@thegolfshopshow.com. We're going to pick a winner from anybody that does email us, so info@thegolfshopshow.com. And we do have the ultimate cleat kit, which includes the Cleat Ripper and Stealth cleats, as well as a container of Helix spikes. We've got some of the Champ Fly tees. We've got the Pride Evolution golf tees, and we've got some of the Pride Professional tee system, the wooden tees. So, and a golf towel as well. So we've got all of this prize pack to give away. So again, info@thegolfshopshow.com. Send us an email. We'll pick a winner and we'll send it out to you. So make sure that you send us your name and address so that we can do that as well. So John, again, as we talk about Pride Sports and we talk about tees, I mean, you guys make really good tees that don't break from the plastic perspective. That hurts sales, man.
Well, interestingly enough, we were not in the plastic tee business till about 8 years ago. Pride Manufacturing, Pride was a family-owned, family-run company back from 1935. And they actually started making wood tees in, I believe, the late 30s or early 40s. And all they provided were wood tees. That's it, for decades and decades. And as we started looking at the market, specifically Japan, we knew that we were missing a portion. That as much as we had our head in the sand about plastic tees, it's something that we needed to embrace. So we took some of the marketing and things that we had done on our wood line and pulled them over into the plastic line as we wanted to have something different than everyone else. And so we introduced the PTS Evolution tee. Champ had the Fly tee on their side. So it's for those people that are looking for something a little different. Obviously, on a per tee basis, they are much more expensive than wood. But it's a great story, and folks like to have that tee that, you know, this one's, I've hit this one for the last 3 weeks, and I'm going to keep hitting this thing till I lose it. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is that, you know, I've had some of your tees for so long that, you know, they actually start looking. I swap them out every once in a while. I'm like, man, this, I think I've had this tee for like 3 years. So it's good stuff.
Well, that's good. I mean, we do make the plastic tees to not break. So that's, they're doing what we want them to do. But I'm also hoping that you'd hit the ball a little further and maybe lose those tees on occasion, too.
Every once in a while.
Like them so much, you give them as lots of gifts.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's also another option.
Well, John, man, as always, we appreciate you having you guys on. And, again, go check them out and all the different products. And I'm sure people are buying them as we speak.
Yeah, great, guys. Like we said, softspikes.com, champspikes.com, and pridegolftee.com. Thanks for having me on.